Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. This is Amin Yasir Muhammad calling from my show, Reparations Radio, or Collective Purchasing Conference Group and Reparations. Alhamdulillah. We'll open up in prayer. I'll say Al-Fatiha. A'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Rahman, Rahim, Malik, Yawm, Deen, Iyaka, Nabuduwa, Iyaka, Nasta'in, Ihdina, Sirata, Mustaqim, Sirata, Deen, Alayhim, Qayyil, Maqdubi, Alayhim, Al-Adaleen, Ameen. Yeah. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters. This is Reparations Radio, or Collective Purchasing Conference Group and Reparations. Reparations in memory of our ancestors. Alhamdulillah. We'll see who's with us today. All praises be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Rabbul Alameen. Blog Talk Radio here. Let's see. Blog Talk Radio. Praises be to Allah. We'll see what's going on here. Who's with us today? Alhamdulillah, so much happening on the reparations front. We started out this morning listening to KBLA, and a brother was on talking reparations. His name is Ron Daniel, and he, alhamdulillah, oh, if you could hear me, you press one on your phone, press one. I see one hand up. If you could hear me, though, press one on your phone if you could hear me clearly. Yeah, we started out this morning on a good day, 7 o'clock in the morning. If you could hear me, press one on your phone, please. I want to make sure I'm being heard. Alhamdulillah. If you could hear me, press one on your phone. If you could just hear me, press one, please, on your phone. Alhamdulillah. Good. All praise be to Allah. This is Amin Muhammad, and this is our show, Collective Purchasing Conference Group and Reparations, and this is Reparations Radio. We started out this morning while I was on my way to school, and a brother named Ron Daniels was on the air, and he have a reparations group, a big time group. Look up, look him up. It's IBW2, Institute of Black, Institute of the Black World, IBW2.org, www.IBW2.org. And he started out talking all about this. The current affairs of reparations, IBW Ron Daniel, look him up, IBW2, and the host Dominique De Prima, who is actually Amiri Baraka's daughter, and she is the sister of the mayor of Newark. It's a brother named, I think, Ross Baraka, and he's the mayor of Newark. And she's the daughter of, remember in the 60s, Leroy Jones, and he changed his name to Amiri Baraka, and so she was interviewing this morning Ron Daniels of IBW2, and another, he heads up about two reparations group. Some of these people got more than one group that they actually run. And I looked at his website, and he's pretty powerful, Ron Daniels, IBW2.org, IBW2.org. All praises be to Allah. We had to tell people about how we are re-entering into Imam Muhammad's economic program. We're not going to abandon that. We're not going to let that go. We're not going to, as they say, punk out of that. to ask the alhamdulillah, you know, using that type of terminology, but alhamdulillah, no, we're going to continue with what Almighty God, Allah, has blessed us with. Almighty God, Allah, has blessed us with AMCOM, and he's blessed us with CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference, and he blessed us with the teachings of Imam W.D. Muhammad, you know, and he told us how to pool our money together and go overseas, you know, just like Walmart and the Walton family, you know what I mean? Imam, that's a teaching from Almighty God Allah, you know. That's a teaching from Almighty God. Almighty God Allah is backing that. Is backing that. So we have reentered into the economic program of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and Imam Muhammad's AMCOP and CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference Group, and reparations. Reparations, we are owed a debt. We are owed a debt. People owe us. They owe us for 250 years of slavery, approximately 100 years of Jim Crow, 65 years of Red But Equal, 35 years of state-sanctioned redlining, you know, to the degree that the Caucasian, the European has approximately anywhere from 10 to 15 to 20 times more wealth on average, more than the average African-American family. The average Caucasian family, European family, have anywhere from 15 times more wealth than the average African-American family. And how did it get that way? First of all, they started out by having a stake to start off with. They were given land grants right after the Civil War. They promised African-Americans 40 acres and a mule, and we never got that. We got it. Johnson, the president, after Lincoln was murdered, he took back the land. You know, he took the land back from the ex-slaves and gave it back to the planter, gave it back to the plantation owner, gave it back to the slave master, all them acres. It was so many million acres all told. But each family, African-American family, I think of four, was promised 40 acres. And then as these Europeans came, as these people was getting off the boat from Germany and Ireland and England and everything, they was giving them land grants, 160-acre land grants to come west. So they was coming west. They got off the boat in Ellis Island, New York, and they was, you know, jumped on a station wagon or train or whatever, and they was given land grants out west, Oklahoma and the Midwest, Arkansas, all in places like that. It was formerly Indian territory, you see, and taking the land and given to these Caucasians. And some of these Caucasians from 1865, from the time, or 1870-something, after Reconstruction was over, it was a failure. Some of them Caucasians kept that land in their family, kept that wealth in their family. In other words, they handed it down to their sons and daughters, and who handed it down to their grandsons and granddaughters, and handed it down to where it's a study that they say 35 or 45% of the people who were given those land grants after the Civil War and after Reconstruction still got that wealth. They still got that wealth in their family, 45%. So the one who is doing extensive research and keeping track of that is William Darity. He's going to be in town November the 3rd, and my daughter, Ashanti, who's a lawyer in San Diego, is going to host him. Her group in San Diego is going to host Dr. William Darity, who wrote the book From Here to Equality, Reparations for African Americans in the 21st Century. he and his wife wrote that book. That book ain't been out for a couple of years. But it's kind of like the Bible of the reparations movement. His name is William Darity, Dr. William Sandy Darity, D-A-R-I-T-Y, D-A-R-I-T-Y. And he wrote that book. Buy that book. It's only about $20 from Amazon. It's kind of like the Bible of reparations. Him and his wife got all those people, all these people who are movers and shakers in the reparations movement ever since for over 100 something years after slavery, you know, reparations. It's people, the African Americans have been wanting justice from the government, from the Caucasian, from the European. So Darity, he talks about it. He gives us a formula of how the money should be distributed. He's talking about $14 trillion. And see, he ain't shy. He's not shy about asking for the money. He's not afraid to ask for the money. He ain't asking for no billions. He say, look, trillions. I think it's $14 trillion, $14 trillion. These Caucasians know, built this country, made this country rich, I'm telling you, America is rich. Our people want to come to America because America is built up and rich. You know, people want to come here, you know what I mean, and share in America. And some of them say, well, I didn't have no slaves. You didn't have no slaves. But when you came to America, you got to share in America's good and America's bad. Came here enjoying the fruits of something that my people put here, you know, serving people, chopping cane, chopping cotton, you know, chopping tobacco, being lynched, being murdered, being raped, all that. Now, you know, theft, they stole our labor, you know, made us work for free. They stole our labor, stole our wealth, you know, and you, from Germany and Ireland and Italy or whatever, you or Mexico or whatever, you are sharing in that theft. You see what I mean? You came here voluntarily. So you just get to say, my family didn't have no slaves. No, your family may not have no slaves, but your family came here and you're enjoying the fruits of something that happened, the theft and the murder and the rape and the extortion and the fraud that happened to our people. See, all praise be to Allah. So Darity and a whole lot of these brothers, right there on YouTube, look it up. The reparations movement is spreading. You can hear how I talk. You know, you can hear, you probably can hear it in my voice. So I've been looking at them and listening to them. You can probably hear it. Well, study just like I study. You see what I mean? And this is what they say. All them brothers, Claude Anderson, Darity, you know, Robert in the World, all them brothers, Ron Daniels, all them brothers. Hey, you know, they have reparations groups. They have reparations groups, our group. But the first thing we do is we don't abandon what Almighty God Allah has blessed us with. Almighty God Allah has blessed us with AMCOP, American Muslim Committee to Purchase 100 Commodities Plus. He blessed us with that in the 1970s with Imam Muhammad. Then Imam Muhammad let it grow and evolved into CPC, Collective Purchasing Conference. And Imam Muhammad taught us how to go overseas, not to go for the okey-doke. They talk about, oh, just buy America while the Walters is going over in China, buy big product from China, coming back to America, opening them stores, and making billions of dollars. And Imam Muhammad said, that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. You see? All praise be. Let's don't go for the okey-doke. That's what we're going to do, too. We're going to go. So the Imam was telling us to go overseas. Go over to Malaysia, a Muslim country. Go over to Indonesia, a Muslim country. Go over to Turkey. Find out what they got. Some of them got suits right now. We just could start off with suits. We ain't experienced. All we could probably do is start off with suits and then probably evolve to whatever. Maybe automobiles in Charlotte one day if we kept it up. But some of them Negroes is going downtown and buying suits from the Jew. That wasn't the email. The email wanted us to go overseas to practice going overseas, to become experts at going overseas, to learn how to go overseas and import and export. That's what the man was trying to get us to do, not go downtown L.A. and buy from Roger Stewart. Roger Stewart is a good guy. You hear him on the radio. Roger Stewart clothes right there on Los Angeles Street. Yeah, they was going downtown buying suits from the Jew. Roger Stewart, he's a good guy. You can hear it in his voice, he's a good guy, Roger Stewart. But that way, what the imam taught us, you see what I mean? So we had Negroes like that, and then we had Negroes who didn't actually support the Imam Muhammad's actual economic program. Some of them still here in Los Angeles. You know, they never talk business. If you talk business, it's like us starting this bank. Yeah, you know, we got some people in our community. They say they're trying to start a credit union, but they have a meeting, every 3 months or something like that. Well, if you're gonna start a credit union, you have a meeting every day. Like we, Akbar is on every day. Shuja is on every day. You know, I'm a sponsor. I'm on every day. You know, our people is on every day. Open up a bank, talk about it every day. Get information every day. Not having a doggone meeting every 3 months and talk about waiting. You know, we've been waiting 3 years now for that credit union. Well, Roger Smith, the richest African American in the world, Robert Frederick Smith of Vista Equity Partners. You know, alhamdulillah, he has a 2% solution where he's going around the world asking these corporations to give 2% of their net income, 10-year period, to the community. So our community needs bank. We need to start off bank. Where's that money going to go? Who's going to distribute that money? You know, now remember, this ain't just no begging program, begging a white man. Robert Frederick Smith of Vista Equity Partners, the richest African American in the world. When I keep saying in the world, I want to say that. Of course, the United States. But Robert Frederick Smith, Vista Equity Partners, he has billions and billions of dollars of assets under his management. What he do is he go to companies and he tells companies, I can increase your net income and your assets by 5 times, 6 times. They say, well, how would you do that, Robert Frederick Smith? I'll give you my company and my experts will give you what we call enterprise software. You have to come into the 21st century. You have to automate. You got to use technology. And then our people are experts, and we have this enterprise software, and we got this consultant. And we'll come into your company, and we'll make your company into, instead of a $1 million business, for instance, it'll be a $10 million business because we'll automate. That's how he makes his money. That's how Vista Equity Partners made his money. And he kept doing that, and he kept doing that, and he kept going around to all these companies and telling these companies, I'll increase your company net worth 5 times, 6 times, 7 times. How would you do that, Robert Frederick Smith, the richest African-American in America? How would you do that? He says, with enterprise software, I'll increase your net worth of your company 5, 6 times through introducing technology in your company and my experts. That's how he, and now that brother man, he got that company, Vista Equity Partners. And I just ran down to you how he made his money. That's how he makes his money. That's how Vista equity partners make his money. He gives the little company what they call enterprise software. Let me repeat it again. Let me repeat it. And he said, I can increase your net worth of your company 5 times, 6 times, 7 times, 8 times. How are you going to do that? But he ain't just talking to African-American companies. All these are Caucasian companies, big Caucasians all over the world. Look it up. Look up Vista Equity Partners. Robert Frederick Smith. Look up his video. And he's turning around, and he's always doing something for these youngsters. He got all kind of videos where he's teaching these youngsters. He's teaching these youngsters at them HBCUs. He's teaching these youngsters. It's a Muslim brother. It's a mother brother named Rashad Salam or something. He got a company, him and another brother, called Earn Your Leisure. And Robert Smith is right there on his show. And Rashad Bilal. And I said, Rashad Bilal? He's from my community. I'm going to look at his show. It's Earn Your Leisure. And I'm up there, and them little brothers, they about 30, no, 30, 31, 32, or younger, interviewing the leader of Vista Equity Partners, Robert Frederick Smith, and asking all kind of questions. Asked him, and Robert Smith is giving up his, you know what I mean, how you posted, whatever you like to think, whatever you do, Robert Smith say, be an expert at whatever you're doing. Be an expert. If you got a barbecue stand, be an expert at your barbecue stand, you know, or whatever. That's what, and you go to, from robertfredericksmith.com. Robertfredericksmith.com. That's his website. And this is where he talks about that 2% solution. You know, Robert Frederick Smith.com, you know. So do the homework. Let's don't be lazy. Let's don't be lazy people, you know. Allah is blessing us. He blessed us with AMCOP, and he blessed us with CPC, and he's blessing us with reparations. Honorable Muhammad has got DNA all in our community through the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Honorable Elijah Muhammad saying obligated to do this, an obligation to do that. All right, Muhammad's kind of like the father of reparation because he put it right in his program, you know. And it's been modified from that time in the 60s, the 50s, and the 60s to the day, okay. But we're still with it. And we with his economic program, and we with his reparation, Honorable Elijah Muhammad. See? Praise be to Allah. So don't be ignorant. Don't be lazy-minded. Look up Robert Frederick Smith and look what he's doing for reparations. He say, look, he started out, he caught my attention when I'm flipping through the internet, caught my attention when he says, look, these companies got to fess up, come clean, confess that a lot of these companies in the world made their money doing slavery and Jim Crow. A lot of these insurance companies, they've been around 100, 150, 200 years, and they benefited from slavery and Jim Crow. They insured the slaves. They insured the plantations. They insured the cotton. You see what I mean? You see? And some of these railroads been around a long time, you know, shipping that. Cotton. Hold on, please. So it's so much. It's growing. You know. And, you know, so many of us are 60, 70, 80 years old. Alhamdulillah. Allah, if you put 80, 70, old 70, Allah bless you to be 90. My auntie is 94 years old. So let's push the program. Let's keep pushing the program. Inshallah, I got a guest today. I got a friend of mine, Brother Shaheed, I want to bring him on the line because I want to talk to him about his experiences. Let me see. Assalamu alaikum, Shahid.
Oh, wa alaikum salam, brother. I mean, how you doing?
Good. Praise be to Allah, brother.
Alhamdulillah. Good to hear from you. It's good to hear from you. And really want to give you a lot of commend you on your radio talk show and all of the information you're sharing with the community, you know. Your knowledge. And, can I mention something, I mean, on what you were talking about?
Yeah.
You know, what you were speaking on first?
Yes, go ahead, brother.
Yes, on the reparations, you know, I'm not too familiar with all of the things that's going on. You know, I'm going to be doing some research myself, try to get caught up on, you know, keep up to date, you know. When you mentioned about, like, the land grants that were given to immigrants that came over here, do you know the knowledge, do you have any other knowledge on so far as would there be any type of land grants for African Americans that would, you know, help, you know, us to obtain, you know, some type of some properties, because if they gave out land grants to these immigrants, I mean, that would seem like that would be a good basis for us to start maybe asking the government for some land grants. I don't know. I'm just saying, if there's not already something in place, I'm not sure, you know, or maybe the groups that's working on the reparations, would you think they probably would have information about anything like that?
Well, it's like brother on our show was saying, you know, not only money, we need, you know, money could be spent up. We could burn up the money, but we need other assets, too, given to us as a part of the reparations program. Al-Ghulaj Muhammad said, if you listen to him, read in Messages of the Black Man and in the back of the Muhammad Speaks newspaper, even Farrakhan's paper, he got it. Yeah, not only money, but Al-Ghulaj Muhammad asked for resources, land, money, land. You know what I mean? Now separate states. Now, you know, like Imam came on and said, even his father said, you know, the white man went to war with his brother over the land. So Al-Ghulaj Muhammad knew he had to modify that. About separate states. We couldn't take Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Louisiana. We couldn't do that. We couldn't get that. But the spirit of what Al-Ghulaj Muhammad was saying, you know, that we, white men, are obligated to give us, to help us go for self. Al-Ghulaj Muhammad, help us go for self. That's what he said, you know what I mean, with not only money, but property and land, but not so much states. But land and Al-Ghulaj Muhammad, he made a note to say, and this land must be minerally rich. It can't be no rock, desert land.
Exactly.
Look it up. Just all you got to do is just Google what the Muslims want. And Al-Ghulaj Muhammad said, no, and this land, it has to be minerally rich. You know what I mean? With minerals, but also where you're able to grow things, grow apples and oranges, whatever, you know.
Yeah, because once you have the land, you know, you have pretty much, you can do just about all of that on land. You can grow your food, you can build houses, you can do anything, you know, build factories and whatnot. I was just kind of just thinking about what you had mentioned about how they gave land grants to immigrants to get them started, you know, get them on their feet.
Yeah, and some of the reparations people are tracking that. The reparations movement, it ain't just no Negroes talking about it. No. It'd be some people who are high scientists and social scientists who be keeping track of the money and the families that was given those land grants around 18 or after the Civil War. The Civil War was 1865, but around 1870, so 1870 something, the Europeans was coming and getting it was called the Homestead Act. The Homestead. I'm telling you, these reparations people, man, if you keep Googling, looking them up, they'll educate you. It's called a Homestead Act. And they was giving out 160 acres of land to these Caucasians. They took our 40 acres back and gave it to the slave man. Took our 40 from us, our families.
See, that's what, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think, just by hearing, you know, you talking about the land grants and so forth, was there anything in place? I just kind of just was curious to know if the groups that's working on this particular issue, do they know of any laws already in place that we may not know that they may have something like that for African Americans? You know, they know about the 40 acres. We know about the 40 acres and the mule. But these land grants, them giving away land to people, and I'm just thinking about, like, if we done already gave our blood, sweat, and tears, as you say, you know, I mean, we built this country. Could we pretty much push for something like that as a start for reparations? Not only land, but money also. I mean, you know, when you have land, you want to build on it, you see, so you need money to build on land. You see, so
what I'm talking about is a part of the reparations packages and the reparations recommendations and the reparations solutions that are coming down from our people. The governor of California, Gavin Newsom, that's what the reparations task force brought out. That was from the governor of California.
Yeah,
Governor California is one of the 9th or 10th largest nations in the world. If California was a nation by itself, it would be about the 9th or 10th nation. Well, the governor of that nation, California, sanctioned this reparations task force report, and it came back June the 29th of this year, June 29th of 2023. All of that was spelled out in a 1,000-page report called California Reparations Task Force Report. That's what I'm saying, brother. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
These are the things that the brothers and sisters and these scholars and scientists and everything, professors, have been brought out. How the Homestead Act, I heard that from Darity. Go to William Darity. Look up the reparations. Look up William Darity of reparations. He'll talk about the Homestead Act, how these Caucasians was given out 160-acre land grants right after the Civil War to these European immigrants. I don't mean no Europeans been here, but immigrants getting off the boat and coming in west.
Yeah.
And they gave them this land, you know, in the Midwest. It was actually Indian land. Of course, they defected from the Indian and killed the Indian and taken his land and everything. But if that's what they was giving out, the land grant, under the Homestead team something. But look it up, Homestead.
Yeah.
And look here. And some of our scientists have been tracking the people, because it's right there. It's written down. You know, they wrote it down. The people in 1860, 1870, they wrote it down. So our scholars are looking at the people who got the land grants, the families who got the land grants, 160 acres, and they tracing and tracking their children, who got the inheritance, how many acres or how much wealth and dollars came from that 160 acres. Then who the grandchildren got it, and some of them are saying that they have traced it where 45% of the people who got those land grants in 1860 some still got it in their family. They still got that wealth in their family right now, and that's what they're talking about, intergenerational wealth. This is something that African Americans, we didn't never get no intergenerational wealth. Maybe somebody worked hard, saved their little money, and was able to hand down to their son or something, acre of land or something among African Americans. But these Caucasians handed down hundred-something acres of land and wealth, you know, to their children.
Yes.
And these our scholars say 45% of the people is stealing their families. It's stealing their families.
Yeah, they're stealing their families. Yeah, and this is the thing, you know. I was just, you know, really wanted to, you know, bring that up like that because I think, I mean, we deserve something similar to that. I mean, if we can, you know, the past, if we put something forward, like, I don't know what type of legal documents or whatnot, but it would be, you know, related to giving us some land. I don't know how much, but whatever, some land. And we push for that. We push for that, you know, and money, you know, both. Because like I was saying, you know, once you have land, we need money to build on, you know. So I feel that that's maybe that could be something that we could really, really push forward, you know, and bring it up to all the bodies of the government, you know. Don't reckon, inshallah, you know, inshallah. I'm just something. And the second thing real quick, I mean, because I'm sorry, I don't want to take up too much time because I do have some things to do.
That's all right. That's all right. Go ahead,
I have to
brother.
Get back
Go
to.
Ahead.
But the second one you mentioned about this African-American brother who has an equity firm. Did you mention, what's his name, Smith?
Mr.
Roger
Equity
Smith?
Partner. Robert Frederick.
Okay.
R.F.
Oh, yeah.
R.F.
Yeah, now that also, that being that he has this experience and he's been at it for a while and he's helping companies grow, that could be another way of African Americans pulling their money together to buy into the equity firms.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
mm-hmm.
for instance, if we had mm-hmm. companies, you know, little small companies, and we can build
mm-hmm.
on, you know, start companies, and since he's already, you know, he has the knowledge and experience that we could
mm-hmm.
pull our money. I want to find something to put money in as well, like invest it. So
mm-hmm.
Investing in equity,
mm-hmm.
which I think, you know, like if we pull money together, we can grow,
mm-hmm.
You know, grow a company, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, co-op or like the AMCOP, what you were saying, you know, purchasing, you know,
mm-hmm.
purchasing things, we can purchase businesses and small companies and start an equity firm. I mean, working with the brother who's already establishing that. Because he's knowledgeable of that, you know. Maybe we can have meetings, or we can set up, you know, little small
mm-hmm.
conferences about that. You know, how African Americans can grow that too. You know, we can gain equity as well
mm-hmm.
in companies. So that's another. You know, those two I was mainly wanted to speak on. So far, my experience in the wholesale and retail
mm-hmm.
business. Basically, it's almost like you can say like you're starting off with manufacturing, because these big retail stores, like you was mentioning Walmart and all others, they start off with manufacturing and then they go into wholesale and then distribute. So
mm-hmm.
there's just an open field with that. It's just kind of like, you know, common. You know, this all of the people that come here and go in business, that's what they already, you know, they already got, you know, some insight on exactly what they want to do when they get here. You know, that's why we see a lot of them prospering so much, you know, when they come here. You know, they kind of have an idea already to go into business. And then they open up business and they run into stores in our community. which we had that during the time back in the time. I wasn't in the Nation of Islam, but I remember that was one of the programs, you know, that was the Muslim program, was to open businesses up in the community, you know, and now we kind of fell off from that, you know. I just also mentioned about how before it was segregation, we were, well, before integration, excuse me, that we were segregated, so African Americans had to work together because we had no other choice but to work together. You know, we just, most of the businesses that we had in our, back in the, during the time of segregation, we ran all, we ran everything.
Assalamu alaikum.
You know, assalamu alaikum, yeah. Wa alaikum salam. Yeah, we ran everything. So we have to go a little bit and understand how it was when we were segregated. Now that we integrated, it's a whole different, you know, dynamics going on. And other forces, of course, you know. But everybody's benefiting from what something that we've already done. You know, we used to run all the businesses in our community. So it's nothing new. I mean, if we go back in our history a little bit, you know, we can go all, you know, that's just how it was. That was the way of life, you know. I talked to my mother and so forth. And,
Shahid. Okay.
Yeah.
Hold on. I got another call.
Sure.
Stay on the line. But I got another call. Go ahead, brother.
Sure.
Assalamu alaikum, Brother Shuja.
Walaikum assalam. Alhamdulillah. I got a chance to hear the brother. And he's talking exactly what we are in the process of doing. And you got a whole list of educated and intelligent brothers that dealing with the reparation payment. And just like the brother's saying, we want more than just cash money, and some of the payment is to help establish businesses, establish genealogy office, create Freeman saving and trust banks, payment to distribute business grants, facilitate employment, training, process direct compensation claims, and you know, this is what some of our brothers like you is coming together, and we're putting that together. You know, people like William Darity Ron Daniel, he coming together with us. Robert Frederick Smith coming together with us. So we got all these people that's working on that. And then they got a task force. Then California is moving it on it real, real hard. And some of the new information on reparation there in California, the tax board approved payments of $1.2 million, you know, to qualified blacks, anybody over 70 years old, you know. They're in California. And in Evanston, Illinois, they don't approve to reduce mortgage. Now, that's another one, adding to the payment, reduce mortgage payments, and $25,000 for each individual, you know. You know, that's going to fall right in line with what you're talking about. All the things we need is more people working on it, because you're going to come to the point where you're going to have to fill out your claim. You're going to have to apply for it. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we want to put in as many payments that we can. Now, the president, he giving away a $1.3 billion to Ukraine. And they paying, I'm talking about with our tax money. And also sending money over there in Israel of $100 million that he's sending over there in to the Israelis. You know, and also they also is paying, and you can check this out, you know, with what I'm saying. He paying the Jews over there $4.5 billion every year of free tax money, our tax money. Now you might want to know where that money is going to be coming from to give us reparations. Our tax money. They get billions of dollars. I mean trillions of dollars.
Exactly.
You know, from the money that we pay in taxes. So we got the strongest argument. We have to gather as many brothers and sisters that we can get together to stand up with us, you know, because we're moving on this here. You know, rich people moving on, entertainers. You know, everybody's moving on it. So it's time now, you know. So all praise to the Lord. I just want to bring that in. And shall Allah bless us with this reparation. As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum
salam. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum salam.
Wa alaykum as-salam.
Yeah, this is Muhammad Sharif here. Brother Salam, I think you say you are not in the first experience, Nation Salam.
Hello?
Yeah, can you hear me?
The Shahidi's asking a question.
What was the question?
Yeah, I asked you, what's your full name, Shahid?
Shahid Muhammad.
Shahid Muhammad. You said you were not in the Nation Islam, you were not in the special experience. Is that correct?
No, I didn't, I wasn't involved with the Nation Islam. I just remember reading up on, you know, like, I came into Islam under W.D. Muhammad, Worth D. Muhammad.
Alhamdulillah.
But I read about the Nation of Islam. Yeah, I was reading up on it, but I never was a part of the organization, you know, with the organization. I just read up and found, you know, learned a lot what was going on with the Nation. Alhamdulillah.
Okay, well, brother, why I'm saying this, because I was in the Nation of Islam. I was Paul AMCOP. I was a chairman of AMCOP in the New York area, Manhattan, Brooklyn, Bronx. I was a chairman in AMCOP. So I know all about the AMCOP.
I remember also, that one. Yeah, I remember AMCOP. Yeah.
AM's Collective Purchasing Conference. I was investing in the Collective Purchasing Conference. I was one of those who put up $2,000, people put up to $80,000 in CPC. We had the suits and all of that. I was also a distributor, myself and my partner. We were distributors of the suits and the watches and the meats.
Oh.
All of that was part of that. So this is why I'm trying to give you some update on this, and you hear a whole lot of talk here. And usually when people have a guest on, they'll say a few words on the guest. Now we came only talking about Garrity. Now we've been following Garrity. We looked at his videos and all of that. Claude Anderson. I listened to them over and over the years. Robert L. Smith, Equity Partners. That's like a selfish situation there. I'll explain what I mean by that. He got a name by himself because of he's the one. Is that the one that paid off the student loans?
I mean,
we hear you.
Yeah, he said he paid off a student loan, Morehouse College, I believe. Why didn't he get together with other big people like he was and had contacts and had money and had connection, all of that? Why he didn't bring all these other people with money and everything and paid off all the student loans? Why he just paid off student loans in one place and invited nobody else? That's a big selfish move there. They could have paid off all those student loans. So we got a history of this. So we're going to bring you up to date. See, sometimes you can get people, I'm going to tell you, just like it is, you talk stuff, but they don't give you opportunity to be able to open the line up for expression for other people to say something. I have a history. I have partners. That was in this community since Elijah Muhammad started with the fish force and all of that. We got a lot of people left their job. I'm talking about big people because we were building a nation, my brother. People left their jobs. I had a brother that was in computer technology back in the early 70s, the 80s. Man left his job, big money, come to help to build a nation. We had another brother, and he was a top salesman in a beverage company, top salesman. He left his job, his business, and everything, and came to help us to build a nation. We had many, many people who helped to build this nation. They left big business. And so right here, we're talking about a whole lot of stuff here. Now, we want to know, where are these people now that you're talking about was brought up about what they are doing? They're not helping us to do establish anything. They got money. They got banks. You know, we were trying to sell banks in this community for the last 3 years or something. You hear the people talking, they didn't offer one dime, one investment, saying they would help establish the bank. So we got a whole lot of people that are just talking and running them, and they never supported anything. And all of a sudden you're building up somebody, like I said, Robert Smith, if he's training young people to help us in business and things, now where are they? Why do you have them help us to set up a bank? Not right, one bank. We're going to set the record here. I'm asking, were any of y'all on AM 360 this morning? On AM 360, from 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock this morning. Where are you?
Right, you are. Alhamdulillah. That's good.
Yeah.
That's praise the Lord. And you're bringing out a good point, Brother Sharif. I think it's a blessing that we got Muslims moving on reparations, you know, but we got people that's other than Muslims, you know, is standing up for reparations and coming together like this here, like the brother here, he brought out some good points and he wanted to do something, you know. So we got to gather our forces together and show the support. Let them know that you got a group of Muslims that's standing up for reparation also, you know.
It's not just
been standing up for reparation ever since he came into office. I'm from Chicago. I'm from Chicago.
We have to establish alliances. Imam Muhammad, they told us to establish alliances. Here we are trying to do something, and we are not inviting people that's already, I mean, people that has the history on this, and they are doing it. We should establish alliances. We shouldn't be trying to do this by ourselves. We shouldn't be inviting people on, like people that's trying to set up a credit union. We got people, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people right in our community that's been in the banking industry. They've been bank managers and all of that. We should invite them on to come and talk to us.
We don't have no knowledge
of the banking industry.
Right. That's the question. It's about, you know, we know we have a lot of talented individuals in our community who's
right.
who have the experience in finance and business, everything. And like yourself, brother, you mentioned about that you were a part of the AMCOP. Can I get the feedback?
Yes, that's correct. Yes.
Yeah. See, your experience with that would be a great help. You know, of like you said, networking, and we just need to keep informed with each other. You know, we have to keep. You know, even our younger people, we should understand. You know, our struggle and, you know, what we're trying to do and to develop. And the young people need to know this because they're going to be the ones that's going to be carrying, you know, they have their future ahead of them. Some of us,
right.
you know, we have been around for a while and, you know, our sun is setting a little, you know, so we just got to pass down the knowledge to our younger people, you know. But if you have experience already, we just need to kind of like know how to network and keep this information flowing, you know, keep it like what I mean, you know, you doing the radio, this talk show that we